can't ball.
Not today.
What about you, brother? You got a ball? Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm a hyper. I don't got a ball. I just got to go.
Yo. I got my ready.
I have no bars today.
Alright, we ready to go. Alright. Welcome to Communion Sundays. Every Sunday, 5 p.m. Hosted by me, TK the Kid, and my lovely cousins. We got E-Day in the building. What's up, E-Day?
What's up, everybody?
We got Retta in the building, of course.
What's up?
And then the lovely Ayana that's still not with us, but we know she's here in spirit, yep. So she'll get back in the studio eventually. But until then, rocking with the three of us. So let's get it started. Start off with our affirmation, then we're going to get right into today's dealings.
All right. Let's take a breath in.
Okay, breath in.
Yes. Release any tension or stress, that you may have acquired today for any reason. And repeat after me.
All right.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am here and I am whole.
So I am here and I am whole. Now, all good. I'm used to you taking a break at this.
I know.
All good. You know, that's my favorite part, so I'd be excited to get to it. On that note, I don't know if you guys saw my story. My first day in the office, I set my office up, so I wrote the affirmation on my affirmation board. So I got a couple other ones, too, and then I kind of let my employees, if they have affirmations, maybe we'll add them throughout the office just so we all are kind of in unison around. Yeah. Those thoughts and ideas, but I just love that affirmation so much that I don't want it to just be something that I'm saying to myself when I'm here.
Yeah.
I want to be reminded of it when I'm other places, and you know, I want somebody to actually come in the office and ask me questions around it. It's going to bring them to the show. It's going to bring them to us. It's going to bring them to a better understanding of who I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was definitely an element that I was happy to take into the office. So nice. E-Day, thank you.
You're welcome.
For what we're going to call Red, I told Ebony, when I saw her last week, I told her we're going to call that E's Daily Affirmation. Daily, D-A-Y-L-Y, since her last name is Day.
I love it.
That's going to be, kind of branding this as an idea and representing it to people, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have some nice little things to drop on our audience. How was your week, E? How was the week?
My week was just full of work, as usual.
Full of work, okay.
You know, it's May in teacher land.
Okay, so that's school's almost over land. Okay.
Busy. So busy land and school is almost over. So right now I'm just tying up the loose ends of like a portfolio night that I'm planning for my students.
Okay, that's coming up this week, right? No, next
25th,
week.
May 25th. Okay. So I have to gather their work and put it on like a science board, like those old school,
science project boards.
For each student.
Yeah, for each student. Have them like reflect on their year. I'm going to put that on there. So it's just a lot of like collecting, you know, their materials and putting it up so that it's visually beautiful. So that's what I've been doing this week.
Okay.
But as far as like personally today, I mean, this week was just chill.
Yeah.
It was chill.
Just chilling out there.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, still doing my workouts.
Right.
I saw your
post. Right. Chase Fitness. I saw the one. I think either you reposted or somebody else reposted. You posted a workout in your story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
Yeah, the boot camp is it. I wish people could come with me because it's been only like three people.
So what day is it?
So the boot camp is on Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock at Jones Point Park.
Okay.
$10.
Okay.
It's well worth it.
Is this beginners?
It's like beginners. We do stations.
So I can take a break if I need to take a break.
Yes.
I'm gonna try to kill me out there.
Yeah, no, I mean It's so great.
Everything is not the same.
All right, this Saturday I might be with it. I gotta look at the schedule. I don't know if I'm gonna have a baby or not this weekend. I was supposed to have him this weekend, and then, you know, some things changed, and then I was supposed to have him next weekend.
Okay.
But I pulled him into this weekend and moved some things around. So, I know I got something planned for Sunday, but I don't recall anything Saturday morning that early. So yeah, let me
it's all see levels. What we can do. All okay. levels. All yeah. Right. It's great.
Shout out
it's
to Chase
fun.
Fitness.
Yes.
Keeping my cousin tight.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Chase Fitness. We love black owned businesses. Let's start with that.
Yes.
So we're gonna always promote those. And the people that, you know, are owning, managing and pushing them forward. But especially the ones where we know that we can see the results, that we can enjoy,
that
add value to our lives. Those are, that communion is a place where you belong, you know what I mean? If you got a black-owned business and you adding value to our lives in any way, or in just the community in general, you know what I'm saying? We want to promote you here, so.
Because I'm crop-topping it all summer.
I mean, I'm saying.
I mean,
know that's right.
Even
saying.
Right now, fupa and all.
I'm
like,
just saying.
Love your skin.
Hey, hello, as you should. Please.
That's right.
Please do that. Feeling good about it, too.
Feeling great.
And just thinking about a statement like that, did you think last year or the year before you would be saying to yourself, I'm crop topping it all summer long?
Never,
right?
Oh my God.
So how does it feel to have gotten to somewhere where you feel like you can kind of step out of a world that you used to live in? Even though you probably feel like you got work to do and stuff like that still, you know, this is a sign that you're moving in the right direction. How does that feel?
It feels great. I mean, like... So I just remember like wanting
it's
to
the
wear.
It's the girl giggle for me.
I just remember wanting to wear crop tops, right?
And be like,
and
oh,
be
no,
like,
I'm never gonna be able
like,
to.
And like hearing my aunts just say, "You got a inner tube, you got a spare tire around your stomach."
I used to be like,
"Oh my God, I really did," but I could have worn.
But you don't.
But, Right. Even still.
But I could have worn the crop top with
then.
The YouTube too.
That's
then.
But because I wasn't loving my whatever I had then,
right.
I chose not to.
Right.
So I don't have a flat stomach.
Right.
It's still a little bit there, but it's me.
You got a grown
that's
woman
right.
body.
And it's a grown
ain't
woman.
Either right. you was
right.
big and got small,
so,
or you was small and got big. That's
so,
what Cat Williams said.
Walk in it. Walk
it feels
it.
Great. It feels
that's
great.
It.
I'm going to crop top it up.
That's it.
So, I'm trying to be like you.
Just know that you're going to see the fupa all summer.
No.
That's cool.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Whatever size, you know.
Yeah.
Small, big, somewhere in between. Stretch marks. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the women with stretch marks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Shout out to the women with stretch marks. That just means
stretch
that
marks. I got those
you've been places.
Legs.
That
yes.
means you've been places. You
yes.
know what I'm saying?
You've
they tell a story.
That's what
every line tells a story of its own. That means that, you know, and being stretched is important.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like part of the reason why a lot of people can't get where they want to go is because they're too scared to be stretched.
To be stretched.
So shout out to the women that's been stretched. We love you.
Yes,
we love you here on Coming
We love
In.
You.
Yeah. All right, Retta, what's up? What'd you
what's
do this
up,
week?
What's up? What did I do other than work? That's the norm.
I was about to say Rihanna.
work.
Already sweating.
Ebony out here sweating. I just want y'all to know I ain't going to turn the camera around when she's sweating. Before Retta finishes, let me let y'all see
Sorry,
what we
Retta.
Drinking today.
We good.
So, you know, y'all know I went to St. Croix last weekend. Well, I guess it's been almost 2 weeks now. I brought this bottle back. So we got some aged rum in here to be checking out since they missed the Jameson last week. Mm-hmm. We all taking a shot of the aged rum from St. Croix with a little bit of Seagram's. You know, shout out to Coca-Cola. Got to keep the Coca-Cola products at hand.
That's right. Shout out to Seagram's.
And shout out to Seagram's.
Well,
and shout out to
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, absolutely. So
but Coca-Cola is dropping some drink that they don't want no more.
You talking
some
about
some energy drink or something?
The Coke Energy. So Coke Energy was basically an energy drink that was made that had Coke flavor. So the design was to do one of two things. I'm sorry, Brad, we getting off topic.
No,
we good. We
learning.
Coke Energy basically was designed to do one of two things. Mm-hmm. It was either to take the Coke drinker that doesn't drink energy and bring them in because there's someone that likes that flavor that is looking for a pick-me-up but maybe didn't want to try the likes of Monster or Full Throttle, something that they didn't necessarily trust the name around to give them that jolt with the flavor.
Okay.
Then it was designed for people who do drink energy but don't necessarily drink Coke, so maybe they drink one of the competitors. It was designed to bring them in from that way, so to squeeze the gap. But we have a great energy portfolio that we excel in with or without it. So it's definitely not a place where we're taking a loss at all. You know what I'm saying? The whole point of being in this business, in any business, is to be innovative. So you always got to be trying something new to figure out, you know, what's going to be that thing that the consumers are looking for next. Yeah. And so we had a good run at that. You know what I mean? The people that tried it,
because I didn't even know about
it. The people that tried it loved it. You know what I'm saying? But we got other great things, you know, coming down the pipe. And you know, a lot of people are moving into, you know, waters and stuff like that. So we are definitely growing our portfolio in that way. So, you know, I'll probably be bringing co-products in here, you know what I'm saying, just to let y'all try sometimes, especially when we got something new. Just especially since you're saying you didn't know, because Coke Energy was with us for a little over a year.
I just happened to see on Google.
And you just found that out. So, you know, I definitely want to make sure, especially when we got something new, you know, that I bring it to the table. So at least you guys know, you know, that it exists.
Because I rock with the aha.
Yeah, aha. Plenty of aha moments. Aha actually belongs here and on one of the other shows I want to do, because it's about aha moments. So,
I rock with aha.
I know people that do. I know people that do. I'm not a sparkling water type. But I know that they have this mango black tea, one of the newest flavors. People be raving about it. So, you know, if y'all love it, great. I guess. I guess. So, Retta, back to you for the week.
Back to me. Just good week. Busy week. It's good having my son here. He was here earlier part of the week for Mother's Day. Went back, and then he came back up for an event this weekend. So,
okay.
It's good having both of my children. Just our little dynamic, you know, kind of comedians. Some comedy, you get sarcasm, you get a little bit of everything.
You got a musical element going on over
in the music
for
piece,
sure.
Definitely
want to get him in the studio.
Check this out.
I want to get him in the studio. Yeah. I want to get Keanu in the studio. I mean, I think it's important. Like I said, you know, this is a platform for people, but first and foremost, it's a platform for our family, you know what I'm saying, and our legacy. And that's kind of one of the things we talked about before we even got here. So when we got people in our family, whether they are artists, writers, teachers, architects, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're doing something that's adding value into this world in any way, even if the only value that the world sees is that comes through your family, that's enough value for me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I know that they're working on projects. They got their own music. This is an independent, you know, radio station where, you know, they can be shared with the world and not be competing with, you know, bigger names and stuff like that. So I want an opportunity to definitely get them in here when we got time. But we're going to get there. The summer's coming, so we want to do a lot of fun stuff for the summer.
I did share that with him, and he was like, oh, yeah, okay. So he has some old pieces, but he, you know, I'm working on some new stuff.
Always working on new stuff. I love it. I can't wait to hear about it. So aside from Mother's Day, what you get into?
Really just relaxing and I really ain't do much of nothing.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, just getting my mind right and just me.
Yeah.
Internal.
Sometimes
type
you gotta
of thing.
Do that.
You know what I mean? Have
be
Mother's
still.
Day.
Rest
that
is important.
Night. Yeah, throughout the week. My daughter took me shopping.
Okay.
Bought me
okay,
a purse.
Daughter. Okay, daughter.
Jimmy Curry's got me a little MK belt.
Okay, daughter.
Go ahead.
We're going to buy some tennis shoes.
Okay.
Nice. She was tired of my book bag.
Okay. Level her up, daughter.
I said,
I'm going to
get
upgrade her, daughter.
I just hadn't had the time to get a new purse. You know, my other one, I retired. But I'm just like, oh, yeah, the book bag, you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Actually, guys, this ain't that bad. This actually is
but,
giving
oh,
some smooth.
Oh, I didn't do mine.
This actually is giving some smooth.
It is.
Especially with the seagulls in there. It's actually giving something
giving
nice and smooth.
I must say, it was nice shopping with my daughter.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
Girls' Day. You know,
it was good shopping with your daughter and not spending your own money.
Yes, and not spending my own. Let me add that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm about to say don't leave that out. Don't leave the fact that you was out there shopping with your daughter,
right?
And your daughter was the one picking up the tag.
That's right.
You know, a beautiful thing. Yes,
that would be
thing.
A beautiful thing. I was like, okay,
this is new.
Yeah,
this is new.
That was cool.
Yeah, she growing up.
Yeah, she growing up.
I'm glad.
That's good.
That's a beautiful thing. And how'd you enjoy Mother's Day with Patty? I ain't asking.
Yeah, it was cool. We went to What restaurant? Barley Mac.
Okay, yeah, you was telling me about it. I definitely got to check that out. Up there by Clarendon. Roslyn.
We went to Barley Mac. It was cool.
Did Patty like it is the question, because you know.
She did. She got the pork chop.
And she watching, I think, too.
So. Yeah, she got the pork chop. I think she liked it.
Patty, you can tell us. Put it in the comments.
I think she liked it, yeah. I think she did. She got the pork chop.
Was it fried or baked?
It was baked with some apples. Something. She thought the apples were going to be like fried apples, but they really weren't.
Oh, wow.
It probably would have been a lot better if it had been fried apples. Yeah, but she ate it. We ordered pizza. Like, I mean, we were just eating. We were like, look, we're going to get the fries. I'm going to get the lasagna. Yeah.
That's how you supposed to, especially, so my thing is, honestly, when I go to a restaurant I've never eaten at before, I always am hoping that everybody at the table
get
something different, and we can all kind of agree upon it, so we can all share and have many different, tastes in that environment. Because you never know when you're gonna go back, you know. And I don't want the one thing that I ordered to turn me off from coming here when you might have something that I should have tried,
right?
But I didn't, you know what I mean?
So, right.
I like to have a full appreciation when I'm in a new place, just to make sure.
Good. It was pretty good,
you know. In the essence of being here and whole. Even in a restaurant, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want to know that I'm fully enjoying the experience. So, my week was a good week. First week transitioned over to Capitol Heights versus being in Alexandria. And, I started my Coke tenure in Alexandria and then hit a couple branches in between and ended up back at Alexandria just to kind of go full circle. And so now I got other things going on in my life that make Cap Heights a more attractive branch for me at this time. I get to build my own team. A brand new team, get to take some of the processes and plans and stuff that I initiated while in Alexandria to another team and really be able to showcase whether or not those are in fact best practices, because we call things best practices. Yeah. But do we really know? Can it be used everywhere? Will it translate, you know, and transfer? So it's a great opportunity for me to do that. So shout out to Cap Heights and shout out to Alexandria. I'm definitely going to continue working with them. And miss them, because that's like home, you know what I mean? But definitely looking forward to something new. And then also just around like branding, the Kid Speaks, and even with this, with Communion, and a couple other things that I want to do, I just noted that being across the bridge more, there's a lot of things that I see that I want to do, participate in, networking and stuff like that, that by me being out there for a good majority of my day, it's going to be a lot easier for me to pop up on. You know, last year, I was trying to kind of build a look and stuff like that, that I can transition from work to, you know, my after work events and stuff like that. So I feel like, in a way, I did not know that Capitol Heights position was going to come open. At the time when I was thinking about all of that and kind of planning out my next steps, that wasn't in the plan, you know what I mean? But I feel like everything happens for a reason, and I was preparing myself for something that was coming. You know what I'm saying? Steps kind of being ordered and aligned. I mean, the stars just like aligned perfectly to make it all make sense. You know what I mean? So now I'm actually going to be able to put a lot of that into play and in practice. You know, go to work and then get off and then go, you know, especially with things opening back up, you know. I'm not in the, you know, poetry scene like, you know, some of my other friends that I know, but I do want to support them and I do want to network with them and then tie, you know, figure out ways to tie brands together. So I feel like that puts me in a position to be more accessible, more available, and more in tune. So I'm excited about that from that perspective. I didn't really get to talk about my trip with you guys because y'all weren't here when I came back. Right. So first trip to the islands, which was super dope. Super dope. I mean, like, I realized just how much, I was telling you this the other day, just how much I hadn't been living until I was at moments on that island. You know what I mean? Just how much I was living dead, you know what I'm saying, before, you know, making changes in my life and deciding that I was really going to be aligned with the things that made me feel good and made me happy. And since then, you know, just all of the experiences that I've had, so many first experiences, so many second chances that feel like first. You know, it's just really dope, you know, to experience something like that. I had a lot of anxiety when it was time to go, you know, having not been away from home like that.
Right.
And I guess maybe that being a first and not really doing it with you know, people I was completely familiar with and comfortable with. But nonetheless, I'm saying I would do it again. I would do it again tomorrow if the availability was there. It was a beautiful place, beautiful people, got to see things that, you know, just going there as a tourist, we actually knew someone that lived there. So we got to see, you know, some of the history, went to this plantation, checked that out. You know, I'm always into that and shit, you know, and feel the vibes from that. You know, I get to wandering around and trying to figure out, you know, what I feel and what I see. You know, I want to touch stuff and take pictures. So it was super dope. Yeah. It was super dope. It was with dope people, having a dope experience. And I look forward to many more, though. So that was that. And then, you know, like I said, to bring it all the way around, that's why we got the aged rum here. That's why Ebony's sweating.
And while we trust me, I would be
taking baby sips.
I would be sweating anyway.
Yeah, she always tells us she would be
so
sweating.
But just, you know,
trip was great. All in all, trip was good. Started off a little slow. Ended up getting stuck in Miami. Our flight got delayed out of DCA because they ain't had no crew. And so once we finally got on, we dropped in Miami like 7 minutes or so right before our flight to St. Croix was supposed to leave.
Oh, dang.
So we missed that flight, but they put us up in a hotel in Miami, and then we got on the first flight out in the morning. So it worked itself out. And even, and you know what, I had to tell that part of the story because in my experience, I have dealt with people, friendship, you know, platonic stuff and romantic, where when things start to spoil and go wrong around you, the first thing that you do is start to fight and, you know, like, nag and, you know, pull at the people that you with because they're the people that's closest to you. So now now that something's happening around you, now it's also disturbing you from the inside. And it was a really beautiful experience in a way that all of that stuff was happening around us, and we were all dealing with it individually, you know, the disappointment around not, you know, the frustration, you know. Shout out to American Airlines. They finally got us there, you know what I'm saying? But dealing with all of that, we still never turned on each other, you know what I'm saying? We still remained here and whole and present in that moment to enjoy one another there, understanding that there were things that were around us that could have ruined it, you know what I'm saying? And that, I was talking to somebody yesterday or the day before, and just thinking about how, you know, weapons form, but they don't prosper, right? I feel like when weapons form like that, and then you succumb to those feelings and those emotions, and you let them trickle into other things and become negative dominoes, that's how those negative things prosper. Like, that could have prospered against us had we not, you know, been grounded and made a decision to go through this process together in peace and love, you know what I'm saying? Even though the world is being disruptive. And I think that in itself is kind of like the epitome of, you know, like me and you against the world, you know what I'm saying, type thing. That things are going to be going on around us, but we got to decide that we're going to ride this together and figure it out. So in all of the friendships, dating, all these things that I've ever done, you know what I mean? I've never been in a situation where something like that blew up and it did not spill over. You know what I'm saying? Not one time. So shout out to the good people that come into your life when they come into your life at the times that they come into your life.
Out to yourself for being you need to be
absolutely
in that moment.
Yeah,
too.
The things that I done grown from and the things that I done gone through, healed from and stuff like that. Don't get it twisted. A lot of those things has gone wrong, and I even speak to this when I'm dealing with people, like, you know, even when thinking about the trauma and things like that that I've experienced, I also know how much of a role I played in that. And because of that, I know that it's not just the things that I went through that got me here. Mm-hmm. It's the things that I've done, too. You know, I haven't been perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in relationships and made poor choices, and those choices have created, you know, reactions that caused other things. And so our lives are a compilation of the decisions we make and the experiences that we go through. So I'm glad that I done grown up, you know what I'm saying? And now I'm in a position that I can learn from all those experiences. Like we always say, learning, unlearning, relearning. And as I continue to do that, life just continues to get better and better with time. Things happen. Things are still going on.
That's right.
There still will be some struggles sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I know how to handle them better. I'm more equipped. Just because I've gotten to know myself so much better, and I know myself as myself and not as what other people have projected on me. So I know how to respond. Mm-hmm. It's hard to weed through your own responses when you're processing through someone else's mindset and someone mm-hmm. else's ideas about you. It's way harder to know what to say and what to do when you're filtering through so many things. Mm-hmm. You know, now that I'm running through a system that was built and designed particularly for me, between creator and I, you know what I'm saying? It makes it so much easier to respond so much more quickly and turn a situation around, you know what I'm saying? Because you're so much closer to it when you're being your authentic self. So shout out to that. Shout out to the people that was there in the past and the people that's here in the present and the people that's going to be here in the future.
That's
so,
it. Shout out to everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
Lottie Dottie.
Everybody. Hello. Hey, what you got over there? You look like you got some notes. What you
oh, no.
You
this notes? Was my fan.
Oh, okay. So you put, I'm about to say what you taking
notes. No, this was my... This was the fan.
She
this
come
was
prepared. The
oh, yeah. All the time.
She got to be prepared.
All the time.
No, I didn't bring no notes.
Oh, it just...
That's the just fan. Happened to have that's something written
paper.
On it.
Oh. That was right there. When I started sweating, I picked it up.
That's all right, right. So we getting about midway into the show. So we're going to transition a little bit. I got a couple questions I want to ask y'all. So last week was about the mothers. It was a great show. Shout out to Whiskey for coming through and sitting with us. I think it was a great interview. She brought some really great energy to it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad both of you guys got to check it out. Mm-hmm. I look forward to getting her back in the studio at another time for another reason. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Pioneer for also being here, sitting in here with two mothers and kind of speaking from their experiences. That was a really dope show, right? So you guys are back. And so now I want to look at Mother's Day from the daughter's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about our own mothers or our experiences with that. and then just kind of go full circle, especially since we weren't all together for Mother's Day. So I watched last night this documentary called, I want to say it's called In Our Mother's Garden. It was on Netflix. Okay. If I'm saying the title wrong, somebody please, if you're watching, please correct me. But I believe that's what it's called, In Our Mother's Garden. And it was a whole bunch of women who were doing interviews about their experiences with their mothers or their grandmothers, if they were raised by their grandmothers or whatever, kind of around legacy, the things that their families had taught them and how they were raised and stuff like that. And it really took me back to the first time that we ever talked about communion and how we were speaking to, you know, some of the things that we feel like we've gotten from our family, our parents, and what they've taught us. They spoke on how, you know, you haven't, you know, you weren't able to show your emotions, or, you know, how families don't talk as much as they, you know, should, or whatever. And it was almost like I was watching them in our conversation, mm-hmm. but having their own conversation, yeah, in our mother's garden. So that's correct. So it was interesting that I saw that, and this like the middle of the night. And so I've said it before, but for people that may not have seen the show before, this, sometimes you're going to pop on us and we're going to have a conversation that's been planned out for weeks or maybe months. But there's most of the time you're going to come in and we're going to be talking about something that I just thought about the night before, the morning of, because this is a conversational environment. It's very candid where we just sit and chat and enjoy that as time to spend with each other and kind of bond that way. So it's not scripted. It's not planned out half the times. We just, you know, be on the fly, and that's how we do it. So if you enjoy this show, you enjoy us on the fly, because that's how we be. So I really just got two questions, and those questions might turn into other ones. So I'm going to ask you guys both the same question at the same time, and then whichever one of you guys decide to answer first is on you. First question is, how do you know that your mother loves you? So in a way of like, what does your mother's love look like without, if she didn't say it at all? Because that was one of the things that a lot of the women were saying in the video. I saw a woman that basically said, she was talking about her grandmother, I think, though, and how her grandmother didn't actually say the words. Her grandmother actually, in her mind, said it through actions. But obviously, we want to hear that from people.
Right.
But think about that. How do you know that your mother loves you? You know what I mean? And then the second question is, what legacy do you feel like you have pulled from what legacy has your mother deposited, I guess? Maybe into you have kids also, so, you know, it kind of goes down one more generation from you, from your mother to you to your children, and then you know what I'm saying? And, of course, I'll answer too. You know, this is a conversation for all of us. But I just wanted to see from a kid's perspective, and thinking about mothers. Last week, we talked about the mothers from the mother's perspective. So this time I say we chatted up about our mothers from our perspectives and us being daughters. So who want to go first? Anybody?
So I'll go first.
Okay.
So
all right.
Keep the flow.
Yeah. So the first part of the question, how do I know that Patty loves me?
How do you know that Patty loves you?
Okay. So Patty's love language is not words of affirmation.
Okay.
So I know that.
Okay.
So she ain't saying much. She really saying that.
Yeah.
But her acts of service.
Okay. Okay.
Tell me.
Okay.
For instance, I don't ask her to make the coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
But she does.
Uh-huh.
She don't even drink coffee.
Right.
Right?
But she knows
but
you
she
do.
Makes my coffee, has the cup.
Sitting there waiting
sitting
for
sitting there.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
So it's things like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I'm in a bind or something and I ask for something and she is willing to give.
Yeah.
So I think I know she loves me by the things she does because I know that's her love language.
Okay.
She likes to do for people.
Right.
She's a caregiver.
Right. Yeah. Innately, a caregiver.
She took care of her, you know, her brother for many years.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, her other siblings left and had their own lives, she stayed, you know what I'm saying? She stayed in the family home.
Yep.
And still, like, did things for other people.
Right.
So I know by that.
Right.
By her actions.
Gotcha.
Because I had to learn that that was her love language.
Right.
Because as a kid, I would look at
I was just about to ask you. Right. I was about to ask you to connect the dots between then and now.
So as a kid.
It's profound today.
Yeah.
But what would that
so
look
as
like
a
then?
Kid, I used to look at how people were like best friends with their mom. Right.
Yeah.
And you would be like, my mom is my best friend. And I'm like,
what?
I love my mom, but she's not my best friend.
Like, and I don't want her to be, actually.
I don't want her to be, but a part of me did want that kind of like, well, gosh, I don't have that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But once I realized, okay, that's not who my mom is. That's not how she shows she cares.
And right.
So I had to accept what I was getting because what I was getting was what I needed.
Right.
But not knowing that I needed it.
Right.
Because I was looking for something else.
Based off of what you saw other people getting.
Based off other people.
Right. Okay.
So now I'm like, okay, I know.
We let people play to their strengths.
Yeah.
You
I'm
know?
Like, I know she's going to do that. I know that she's going to put stuff away. You know, maybe if I don't ask her, maybe it's put in the wrong place. But it's okay. Like,
I
know your intention.
Right.
It's not to rile me up and
to
get me all mad or whatever, but it's to show that you care. You know what I mean?
Right.
And your second question.
Now this one is around legacy, and this and let me be completely honest. So this doesn't have to necessarily be soft and sweet. Legacy is not always. It's what we've taken from them, and in some ways we've taken great things from them. In some ways, you know, we are healing and learning through things that we've taken. But it's really about the legacy that you feel like you've gotten, or even continue to get. I mean, she's alive and you know, and operating. So, you know, what does that look like from you from a family standpoint? Like, what kind of legacy for you and your sister, maybe?
So, I think for me, so what I've kind of, like, what I've gleaned from my mother, like, over the years is, like,
come on, glean.
The importance of family, I think. And that has been, like, just passed down to her, too, you know?
Right.
The importance of family, but also I've also gleaned that, like, sometimes your family is not ready for who you are becoming.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's like
facts. Big fact.
And I've also watched, like, a lot of my family members, like, not talk.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, that is something that I'm not taking that
that's
legacy.
Right.
Yes.
We gonna talk.
Yeah, that's,
like,
that's the one we throwing back.
I'm not gonna sit in silence if something's bothering
If you see something, say something.
Or bothering you.
Right.
That's I'm not gonna sit in silence when I know that you know that it should be the other way.
Right.
I'm not gonna sit in silence just to let things go.
Right. Yeah, to have peace.
And maybe
we don't know the way it should be. We just know that the way that it is not working. So we need to talk so we can come up with something else.
Right.
Yeah. Because to your point, you said we're not going to talk for peace, but is that for peace's sake? You know, because do we actually have peace when we're not talking about the things that are disturbing us from the inside?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right.
So, like, when you say legacy, I guess I can just say, like, there is, like, a big basket of stuff that I am getting.
Yeah. Right.
That I am taking. And that I'm not taking.
Right, and that you're leaving.
And that I'm leaving and that I'm sharing with others.
And I think that's so important.
So the one thing that you don't want to take is the not talking.
Right, yeah. The silence and, like, the... Because I mean, to me, that's just, like, it's kind of, like, dysfunctional, kind of.
Right.
Like... when you can't really say what you want to say without it coming across as like a big blow up argument or whatever.
Right.
My family, we're big on expressing ourselves and you know,
until it's time to express yourself.
Until it's time.
Yeah.
Like we can talk but it's the talking with that I don't see enough of.
Right.
I see too much of talking at each other and not really having conversations. Yeah. So
intimate, like, conversation.
Yeah.
Discussion.
And it don't even have to be, like, intimate, but just, like,
conversations that are above, conversations that are above the surface, that aren't just
that
casual.
That cause you to engage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's interesting because on one hand, it's, you know, it's almost like it's competing principles. So you got family is super important. And then on the other hand, family don't want to talk.
Right.
So we know we're super important to each other. But on the other hand, we don't know how much and to what extent because we actually don't have the conversations around the things that matter most to us. You know what I mean? So you're always fishing for the truth in some way. You know what I mean? So Leisha says, my grandma... Hold on, let me press it because it says Seymour. She says, my grandma never says she loves anyone until one day I said, bye, grandma, I love you. She said, okay. I said, grandma, you didn't say it back. She looked at me crazy and shocked that I said something at all. At the moment, I realized she didn't say that to anyone. I repeated it, grandma, I love you. The look on her face was like nobody ever made her say it or challenged her on it. I said it at 17 years old. Grandma, if you love someone... you should have to tell them. Grandma, don't you love me? She said yes and tried to brush it off. From that day forward, I pushed her to say the actual words, I love you. Now it's so common. We all tell each other we love each other. Grandma, cousins, aunts, and uncles. So, yeah, that's the kind of change that we need.
Yeah.
We need sometimes you got to get to the point where you're willing to disturb the peace more than keep it in order to grow from it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if that's what the people need.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Maybe grandma was never told that. And so that's why grandma doesn't know how to say it.
Right.
So not only does she not know how to give it in that way, she doesn't even know what it's like to receive it. So you know, Leisha, setting the tone for that, you caused her to experience something different too that ushered her into change. Mm-hmm. And that's what's very important about this show. Now, granted, people that's older than us, we say a lot of times people are setting their ways. I'm not even 40 yet, and I feel like there's some things I'm setting my ways on. You know what I mean? But I do understand that change is inevitable and that we can all change if we so choose and if we have the right ingredients and environment, nurturing nature, environment to cause change. Mm-hmm. But we got to understand that everything is going to start with us somehow. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be the people before us or the people after us, but we got to be willing to teach them the things that they need to learn and nobody else taught them. Mm-hmm. And the way we do it is through our example. Mm-hmm. It's not through forcing it on people. I feel like that was a beautiful conversation for a 17-year-old to have with a grandmother that was probably every bit of, I'm going to call it maybe 50 years her senior, at least. That's probably at least. So we probably talking about her grandmother being, Yana says she loves us. Shout out to you, Black. can't wait to get you back in the studio. But so we talking about a woman that was probably like maybe 60-something, almost 70 years old, having this conversation with a 17-year-old and being checked on it beautifully, though, in a way that they could grow from it. You know what I'm saying? But we all know that we've been in it. She was 70, so that's what she said. She was 70 years old while she's 17. So we talking 53-year difference.
Yeah.
You know how much have we not? None of us are 53 years old, so we don't even know what 53 years of living could look like, and that's just the gap. She's actually 70 years old when this is happening. So the fact that they got an opportunity to grow from that, and she's still alive today and continuing to be able to now for her other grandkids and her great-grands and whatever it is to have those conversations, I think that's dope. Shout out to you, Leisha, for sharing that story. We appreciate that. And anybody else that got short stories, please share them. We'd love to share them here on the show. So you up, Retta? What you got? Talk to us about Joyce.
Yes, Joyce. Ms. Joyce. What I saw watching my mom, just she was a hard worker.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She did what it took to raise three girls.
Mm-hmm.
In South Arlington at first. You know. She basically started at the bottom and now we're here type thing with the government, really.
Shout out to you, Joyce, for working your way up.
The recruit office, you know, from out of high school. I think they started in the recruiting office and just worked her way up and was just, like, diligent about not staying in one place too long.
Okay.
She knew when it was time to move on.
Okay.
And was just dedicated to providing a life for her family. Mm-hmm. And she did just that, you know. And when it came time, she was like, it's time to go. Time to leave Arlington.
Yeah.
You know, hurt my heart. But, you know, that's all I knew at fourth grade.
Yeah.
You know, so you're open to a new dynamic. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. But, I mean, even with that, she just, what I saw was just hard work. And she instilled that in all of her girls.
Okay.
You know, my dad was always, you know, hard worker as well. And we saw that. But when it was just us, she really pressed her way. And oftentimes, you know, she had to travel. She had to do what she had to do. So, like we were talking about, you know, the hugs, some of those things, you know, we didn't get, but we knew she made sure we ate, she made sure we had, we were clothed, we were fed, we ain't want for nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? We may not have had the designer stuff, but we had, you know, some kind of way she made miracles and we had close to it. We weren't straight up in Bobos.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, and it just amazed me.
Top of the line Bobos.
If we did, but... She did, you know, two jobs, three jobs. But,
right.
So that really stuck with me. And then.
So what would you say that, how do you know, if you had to describe your mother's love for you, how do you know that she loves you?
Oh, yeah.
You back? Me too. It's actually pretty good. Shout out to the
age.
Her
sacrifice. Just her sacrifice and just providing, like, but she sacrificed. I don't say herself, but her wants. And,
okay.
You know, sometimes her needs even. You follow? And I won't get into it, but you know, things that she needed.
Yeah.
To sustain herself, to do, you know, whatever it is.
Right. And so when you were younger, I feel like going back to Ebony, like it's easy to see it today, especially being a mother. And now be able to put it in perspective and know what you see. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when you've had to get up on it. And now it's like,
right. Oh,
shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get that now. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
As a kid,
my younger
how
self,
would you have said that you, and I'm going to throw that back at you too, because I didn't really ask that. As a kid, how did you know that your mom loved you?
As a kid, she was there.
Okay.
She always came back.
Okay.
You know, in my mind, it was like, you know, regardless of how long she left,
right?
You know, we she'd always make sure my grandma, somebody was there, but she always came back,
right?
And I don't say she provided,
right?
She created strong women. Sometimes,
right. You know,
too
strong.
Too strong.
Is it such thing?
But is it? You know what I mean? I think there's always a balance. Oh,
yeah.
Whoever. You know, your mate or whatever.
Right.
You know, whoever is for you.
Right.
will be for you, and y'all balance it out. Right, you know, right. You're meant to be exactly who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if you are more on the, you know,
right.
Look, you know, through life circumstances, whatever, it'll balance itself out, and it's not at your point, you know, for someone else to necessarily, right. you know, call it, push it on you. You're too this, you're too that. That's why you don't. That's why. No. This is my walk to walk.
Right.
And the whole balance, it will work itself out
right.
within yourself and with your mate.
Right.
So, yeah. But, okay. Yeah, but love my mama.
Of course. We love you, Joyce. Shout out to Joyce. Joy, if you're watching, Joyce close by. Tell Joyce we love her over here
at
Communion.
That's right.
Happy Mother's Day again. Mm-hmm. So, Ebony, as a kid,
how did
you know that Patty loved you?
So, as a kid, I knew she loved me by her presence. She was, like, she was there. She was a single mom.
Okay.
We played together. Like, I just remember always, like, doing board games. Like, mm-hmm. I knew, like, she loved me by just being around. And, like, playing with me. I look at some parents who, like, don't play with their kids. Like, won't play a game or go sit down. Like what?
Right.
Like, I knew she loved me by what she taught me. She taught me how to like do gymnastics in our front yard. Like mm-hmm. I was in kindergarten. I remember that. Like she came to my birthday at school with cupcakes every you know, like every birthday.
Yeah.
Like she would come like
ritual.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. like
and it was a big deal to her. To celebrate you in that way.
Yeah, so, again, things that she did, her, her
acts of service.
Yeah, that
still, at that time, I don't even think we knew that love languages existed at that time.
Exactly.
But now, looking back, you can see how that still aligns with her and her acts of service.
Yeah.
So in knowing the love languages, which one you think your mom's is? You think that's the same?
I can't even remember all of them.
So, but, you got words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. You got quality time. You got physical touch. You got acts of service and gifts. Those are the five.
It'll be acts of service.
Acts of service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sound like moms from that era. Mm-hmm. Acts of service probably a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the moms before them. Because even in thinking to my grandma, because I was going to actually toss it back to you guys about your grandmothers too.
Yeah.
Now you.
I didn't meet
don't have a relationship with your grandmother.
On my mom's side.
I
never met her. She passed before I was born. And then on my dad's side, we became, we got in contact later.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, in my teen years.
Okay.
So my mom's mother, I never met. She died in 74. I was born in 74.
Right, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. What about you and Aunt Hattie?
Your mom's mom.
So, you know, of course I know
Aunt
Hattie.
Both of them. It's different dynamics. My mom's mom, she was basically a missionary, you know, married to a minister or a reverend. He did have a church.
Sounds like acts of service all over
again. You know, just acts of service her whole life. And then my mom basically took on her footsteps and was the president of missionaries.
Okay.
In our family church on that side. But my grandmother, I'll say great grandmother. She was another one, and she was about, if you're going to do something, do it well.
Yeah.
Like she ingrained that in everybody, all of her 9 kids. And that's something that we always say,
right.
You know, and they make it a point of saying, you know, what did mama say? You
right.
know? And, so that instilled in us, you know, the little saying, if you do something, do it well, or don't do it at all. So really in a nutshell, it was like service.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you know what's interesting though? If I thought of Aunt Hattie, even though I would probably say service.
Oh, but like the other one.
Oh, your other grandma. Great. Oh, okay.
Now Hattie Bellamy, definitely if you're gonna do something, do it right, or I'm gonna come
you
back.
See how stern the tone and everything changed quickly.
That was Hattie Bellamy. My grandma Gray, she was still stern, but she was a calm, stern Hattie Bellamy. It was no what do you call it? No holds barred. Like she said what she meant. She meant what she said. And don't let her say it twice.
Uh-huh.
And if she asks you to do something, you do it right, or she's gonna be right behind you on your heels.
Literally,
and make sure it's done
she's
right.
in your shoes with
and,
you.
Definitely. And if anything, I just learned discipline, and I learned just I learned how to say what I meant and just really speak up, you know. And she's
wasn't taking, scared to say nothing.
She wasn't scared to say nothing. Of who? She took care. And another one, sacrifice.
Yeah.
She raised her children plus the neighborhood's children. She fed everybody. We would all come to the house, and they some kind of way she would make the meal, whatever she had in her cupboards and
refrigerator. She was stretching two fish and five loaves, you know, from the gate.
And we all, she said, "You better get it now, because
it may not be here." Yeah,
but she made sure if we were up there, we ate. And I'm like, okay, we need to start paying her back.
Yeah.
You know, but it's definitely the service.
And, yeah. And even when I think about them, a lot of times I think about quality time. Because I think about, definitely, like, the things that we did, like, I've always feel like it was something always happening in that backyard.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Gang, playing cards, and you could sit and play cards for hours at a time.
She made
no one ever got tired of, you know, playing and being here and being involved. That's people constantly coming through and just sitting here chilling. And, you know, so when I think of them, I think of that. So real quick, so we can, you know, wrap it all in, tie the show all together. So my turn. How do I know my mom loves me? I'm going to say my answer would be that she shows up. And she hasn't, I mean, full transparency, because I'm not in a position now where I can, like, not so much sugarcoat things, but, you know, it's transparency, you know what I mean? There are moments where she was not there that I would have liked her to be there. But the moments when she wasn't there, I don't think I needed her. I wanted her, you know what I mean? When I got married, I would have wanted to have my mother there. When I graduated, I would have wanted to have my mother there. But the accomplishment was done. You know what I mean? I didn't need. I wasn't at the point where I was pressing through or pressing on.
Yeah.
I was at the celebration part. So if you don't want to come to the party, Will, I mean, you don't want to come to the party. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, when I had to have a surgery and I lived, you know, in Las Vegas, you know, she came and sat there, we played cards, and, you know, just had that familiarity. You know, when something was going on at work, my car break down or something going on, like, my mom, she would come pick me up and give me a ride or let me use her car. You know, if I'm about to, every time I'm about to go out of town, well, how you getting to the airport? You know what I'm saying? And granted, that might be Baltimore or, you know, DCA, whatever it is, and she all the way out in Triangle. So at the times when I need her to be around, for the most part, I can say she's been there, and that is how I can say that I've seen her love, you know, over the years. We struggled a lot when I was younger, you know what I mean? So to try to pull from there will be tougher because there's so many weeds to pull through. And I wouldn't necessarily say those are her weeds. I just think that is me being a teenager, coming into my own, my own personal experiences and stuff like that, that overshadowed some of the things that she was maybe trying to do. But one thing that I did see from her is that she has a depth of loyalty to what and at what times. That may be where some of the disconnect is. You know, she is very loyal, especially to, you know, like, for instance, church and stuff like that. That's her thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I've seen her be dedicated and committed and show up. She is a person that taught me the idea that when people want to do something,
they're going to do it.
They do it. You know what I mean? You know when a person cares about something or they love something or they're fully vested and how they manage it.
That's
you know, they're not going to be late. They're going to be on time. They're going to be sitting there, blood, sweat, tears, whatever it is.
That's it.
I've seen her give that on several occasions to several things. I mean, when we were kids, she would give everything. She would be on the bus, catching the metro, going back and forth to work so somebody else could drive her car to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was the way that she showed up in the lives of people around her, always willing to give. I mean, my Uncle Walter Like, her weekends were my Uncle Walter's weekends. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, her whole weekend was spent riding him around, taking him to the movies, taking him out to eat. Mm-hmm. So I think hers is a blend of acts of service and quality time. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I feel like she wants to spend a tremendous amount of time with who she wants to spend it with. Mm-hmm. And she wants to serve those people who she wants to spend time with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've seen her, her love languages show up in that way. Mm-hmm. And so the legacy that, like, going back to that, what I feel like I take from that is I feel like that's me too. You know what I mean? Now, words of affirmation are actually my love language. That's how I receive and I give. I love you down. You know what I'm saying? I will feed you all the beautiful words that I could muster. You know what I'm saying? But I think that I'm a good blend of all five, to be honest. Now, when I was younger, though, even at church, I feel like I kind of followed in my mom's footsteps a little bit. Mm-hmm. If it was something going on at the church, I always wanted to be involved and, mm-hmm. you know, always helping, there to set up, there to break down. Mm-hmm. You know, you need something, volunteer for this, volunteer for that. Yeah. And I feel like I definitely took that from my mother. Now, my grandmother, I know that she was, like, on the usher board and stuff like that, but I didn't really see my grandma outside of our dynamic. I know she was a person. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, you know what I mean? But I didn't see her elsewhere. Y'all probably saw her more because going to church with her, yeah. And I didn't. Yeah. I didn't go to the same church as my grandmother. Right. So I didn't see her, and unless I was coming to visit Macedonia, I didn't see her in that capacity. So I only saw her with grandma head on, you know what I'm saying? And even with that, going back to it, sitting there playing cards, watching TV, but even to this moment, she like, yeah, let me know when you got some time off. You can come over here and I'll cook you breakfast. You know what I'm saying? So immediately wanting to do something. So yeah. I think that just that error and back from it, you know, is probably big on acts of service and doing things is how they show them. Because none of us said that they said it. None of us, basically said that they used their words to show us love and that we got it in that way.
Right.
They all basically kind of showed us love the same way. And all three of our parents are in the same era. They grew up together, you know, definitely my mom and your mom. And then, of course, my mom and your mom just by your father and her having first cousins.
But my daughter said, you know, but she will not hold her words. Like, she will communicate.
Right.
And she, you know, there's certain things that she won't take.
I'm glad that she's seen that and she's decided that she's not perpetuating that. Because words are so important. Here's the thing, you know, and we'll close out here. The world was made, maybe in an act of service, but to whom? Because the people weren't here yet. You know what I'm saying? Right. The world was made with words. Uh-huh. You know, God said, "Let there be," and then there was. Yes. You know what I mean? And I feel like we have lost so much power in our lives because of all the things we do not say.
That's it.
Speaking has to be a tool that we use every day to communicate our love, to communicate our needs, to communicate our desire. Period. Communication is key, and language is key. And that's I feel like that is a way that something was stolen from us, especially in coming here, you know, as enslaved people coming here. Language was a big one because you take the ability to communicate your native language and then you give people language and tell them what they are going to say or not. Mm-hmm. And then obviously that changes the narrative, but it has to be it has to be super important for us to take back control over our words and the intention that goes behind our words. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that we're speaking life over ourselves and the people around us and the circles in which we sit. You know what I'm saying? But the words have to be the thing. Actions are important. Don't get me wrong. I feel like actions speak louder than words until they don't. You know what I'm saying? So I do think that your actions are going to show up. And that should be an illustration, a further illustration of what it is that you say.
Yeah.
But I do feel like you got to be saying things. I feel like saying it is the seeds.
Yeah.
The actions is the cultivation of such seed. Mm-hmm. And we cannot skip over part of the problem. We cannot plow land that has no seeds. We can't cultivate, you don't got nothing in the ground.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? What's in the ground is your words.
Yeah.
And your words are is what's going to produce life or not. Yeah. And we got to be in a position where we want to talk more. And again, that's where communion comes from. So
that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, so that's what I say, like,
and listen.
Yeah, talk more and listen more. Absolutely.
To bring it back to like my classroom, I just read a book to my preschoolers called Communication. Right. And how you need to listen to the person that's speaking to you too.
Yeah. Like, and not listening just so you can say something. Listen so that you're taking information in. So that you are learning. Right. I always say that everybody's a student and a teacher, and everybody's mouth can't be moving. We get there, you know what I'm saying? But everybody's mouth has to be moving, so we get there. So it's all in timing. So I do think that, you know, while our parents may have not communicated their love, and their intentions and words, they did show it. We appreciate them for being the best they could be with the things that they had and the things that they were taught. And now us having an understanding and being able to be aware of ourselves and others puts us in a position that we can grow from that and further their acts of service and do things for people and stuff that, but not negating the fact that it's important to hear the words, "I love you." You know what I mean? So that people, we should be normalizing a phrase like "I love you." It should be just that simple that you are hearing it and you're hearing it on a regular basis. But I feel, and this will go into another one, I think I said this before, but I feel like "I love you" has been romanticized so much that when you say it outside of romance, it feels weird. It's uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And I feel like we got to get to the point where we're able to love on ourselves and on others without there having to be some other expectation or intention. We just, I love you because you exist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I love people I don't know. I just said yesterday, you know, I love my enemies as myself, because that's just the way God made us to be. You know what I mean? Right. The core of us should be love, and that's how we should be operating to and through. You know what I'm saying? That's just got to be how it is. Absolutely. And more importantly, using it with our mouths and constantly communicating with our mouths.
Mia, I know we're closing out, but something else she started doing, this is just saying "I love you" every time we talk, every time we get off the phone, to my mother, to me, just challenged me to do that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I need say to it. Talk. She wants what to
if,
hear
what,
it.
What if you don't get to say it again?
She wants to hear it.
Yeah. What if you don't get to say it again?
Right.
Is that something that you want to regret?
Yeah.
Having not said something that you felt. Just because the words were tough to push through. I would rather push through saying the words than push through the grief and guilt of having held them back. You know what I'm saying? So I would rather say them.
Yeah.
So E to you, our affirmation, closing us out.
All right.
For the people that didn't hear it earlier, here we go. Our affirmation.
After three shots.
Shut.
Okay.
What is it?
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here and I am whole.
Here, all right, next Sunday, check us out, 5 p.m., communion. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, my God.